Okay. Hi, my name is Natasha Klatt, and it is Friday, September 29th, 2017. I am here with
Roy Ferdin
at Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Today we will be discussing his experience with the historical Hurricane Harvey that took place here in Corpus Christi, Texas, and made landfall August 25th. In the South Texas region. Okay, Roy, where were you when you heard that a hurricane was on its way to Texas?
I first was talking with Phil about reading about the storm that was coming. Usually people weren't aware that it was gonna come to the South or even hit the Gulf Coast. They were like, oh, we haven't had a hurricane in over 20 years. We're not going to get this one. So when I was telling them we should prepare, or we should start looking into what we need to do for the university, they were like, we're going to get word from the higher-ups. So we waited probably maybe a little too late for preparation. Once we told them that the storm was in the Gulf, now people are trying to rush and see what we're trying to do or what to do to get things situated.
And I can imagine that was maybe a little stressful for you?
It was a little stressful. I'm prior military, so I'm used to, we have 72 hours, 24 hour, 48 hour, what to do for preparation, not 12 hours and let's get things done.
Okay, so it was a little off your track of trying to be organized.
Yes.
Yes, okay. And Roy, can you tell me a little bit about your position here at A&M, what your responsibilities are and your status?
I've been with the university just over a year. I help out in the operations. I'm an operations technician. I help out with anything from maybe setting up work orders, purchasing, repairing things, small things, helping out if somebody needs to get stuff moved. They usually call me, or anything small that I can take care of that doesn't require a work order, I'll take care of it.
Okay, so it's more of a physical job? You're around campus helping out with stuff just everywhere, any department, or is it just the College of Science and Engineering?
Mostly for the College of Science and Engineering, but I'm doing stuff with the boat barn. I'm doing stuff with the shipping and receiving and helping out with purchasing. So I'm all over, basically.
And what exactly is the boat barn?
The boat barn's like where the one of our we send the kids out when they check boats out, check vehicles out. It's considered a boat barn, which is, it's on campus, but it's its own entity, not attached to any of the, I guess, the main campus.
Okay, is that the place over by the Hart Center, or is that in a different location or outside?
It's outside, right across from shipping and receiving.
Okay. All right. Are there any other staff members that share the same responsibilities with you?
Right now I'm working alone, but if I do need help, I call on Phil Spreen. He's my supervisor, so if there's something that required, I usually call him, tell him, and he relays it to me, and I take care of what needs to be done.
Okay. Where were you when you heard a hurricane was on its way?
When I first heard about it, I was at the house, since I do sports. I'm the full sports official also. So I was watching the news, and they said there was a hurricane developing. And I was like, this storm, the track that it was on, I just felt that this is probably the storm that's going to come into the Gulf and probably cause some damage. Didn't expect it to come so close. I felt we got lucky that it did turn a little north. We didn't get the bad part of the storm, but it did do some damage around the area.
And what made you feel like this was going to be a more severe storm than usual?
Just the track and how slow it was going. Usually the storms are moving anywhere from 25 to 30 nautical miles faster. This was going anywhere from 10 to 50 miles. So it had enough time to build up strength.
So you're familiar with the paths and the strengths of hurricanes?
Well, being stationed in the Gulf Coast, I was stationed in Ingleside, Texas. We're prepared to where if the storm's 72 hours away, the ships are leaving the area. So I felt kind of bad because you're like, we're leaving the area, but our families are still left behind. So once we leave the area, we have no place to go, but we have to run away from the storm.
Right. And I can imagine that's probably a little stressful as well.
It is real stressful.
Did you know at the moment that you were going to help and prepare the campus for the storm when you heard that the storm was on its way?
I was ready to help. I knew we tested everything probably a month prior, so we knew everything was operational. It was just we had to get the word. We already knew the storm was not in a direct path, but in the vicinity of coming to the Gulf Coast. I felt that we should have done maybe things days prior, not hours prior.
And can you tell me a little bit about the hurricane preparedness routine? What does that entail?
Since we're in a low-lying area, most of ours was probably making sure flooding, securing windows, securing anything that could be a missile hazard, trying to tie things down. In our preparation, within 48 hours, we were to move vehicles into the garage. Within 24 hours, we're due to move the boats into secure areas. So our main boat, which is probably an $80,000 boat, that was within 12 hours, which actually we were to leave the campus at noon. That boat was put into shipping and receiving's warehouse, which is probably a 6,000 square foot warehouse, probably 2 hours prior to leaving the campus. So it's kind of close.
Mm-hmm. And how many people were helping you with this?
This was just me.
Just you. Did you feel under pressure?
I felt under pressure because now the UPD, which is University Police Department, was requesting people that were going to stay on campus after noon to have a list of names of who's going to be on campus. That was never issued to University Police Department, so we all had to leave by noon.
So as soon as you put the boat in, that was it?
That was my last big item to put in. And then we had one, because if we don't have backup power to our building in the College of Science and Engineering, so one of the items was a freezer that had to be moved to the Hart Institute for backup power.
And what would this be? What kind of things would this be?
Most of it was either samples or media that needed to be frozen. It kept frozen. So we had to put it into emergency plugs. And most of our emergency plugs were at the Hart Institute that were available.
And once again, this was just you doing all this? Or were you being instructed to do all this? Or at some point you had help?
I was moving the items to, this was a big freezer, so I did request help to move the freezer. And then once we got it up to the location of the second floor at Hart Institute, we plugged it in, and that was, you know, till we came back to bring the freezer back to the central receiving.
And did you say that you had to move samples as well?
Well, samples and put them in the freezers that were plugged into the red plugs for emergency generation.
And were these scientific samples or just lab samples?
Most of these were lab samples.
Lab samples. Okay. And so, what was exactly was the first step when you found out that you had to start preparing the campus? I know you told me that these multiple steps occurred, but what exactly did you start with first? Well, how did you tackle this? What was your mindset?
Well, my mindset was I didn't want to wait for them to give us word. I have some stuff in the storeroom for hurricane preparedness, so I issued out plastic to cover all the computers instead of waiting for SSC to give us plastic bags.
What is SSC?
Southeast Solutions Company, they're a contractor on the university. They're the in charge of the cleaning. They're in charge of different maintenance areas and stuff. They get our, like work orders or purchase orders and stuff like that.
So you had to get bags from them? Is that just like a policy?
They're instructed to issue out bags for Hurricane to cover computers, and that also was within the 4 hour period before we had to get off campus. So that's why I went ahead and broke out the all the hurricane stuff that I had prepared to issue to cover computers, cover windows. The only thing I wanted was probably more sandbags to cover the doors. But like I said, I felt lucky that the hurricane did take a north and we didn't get the bad side, so.
And so you did have sandbags available for some places on campus?
Yeah, we got some for the low-lying areas that we covered the doors, and it was only maybe a total of 8 bags.
Okay. So probably not enough bags.
Not enough bags,
Like
yes.
these were just bags pre-filled, or you had to go and
I
fill
filled them
them.
that day, so and the only thing we had was those 8, so I had to use whatever I had available.
And how come you guys didn't have more sandbags available? Was it because the city just ran out in general, or?
No, like probably like I said before, the preparation, I don't, in my view, wasn't there to where they, you know, we haven't had a hurricane in over 20 years, a direct hurricane, to that we don't know. I hope we take this as a learning experience and we would be prepared if something were to come again our way, probably next year or so, that we'll have all these assets available or readily available for all different, you know, universities.
And I'm aware that there is some kind of a hurricane preparation meeting that takes place with all the staff members.
There's a preparation meeting that takes place and we test all the, but now all the things we tested, I felt we didn't use the resources that we had. Building and CS building has a roll-up door that secures the glass doors that we have. That was not taken down. It was not put down. I felt that that would have probably made it more secure for the building. Because once the hurricane turns into a Category 3, there is nobody on campus. University Police Department departs. And everything's turned over to the Corpus Christi Police Department.
Wow, so the campus police had to leave as well.
As soon as the storm hit a Category 3, campus police was requested to get off campus.
But you were here
We left.
maintaining as well.
No, everybody's
Everybody's
required
gone.
to depart the campus.
What exactly is a roll-up door?
Roll-up doors, it's considered maybe a storm door. If you had storm windows, it would be that type of window where to withstand up to 120 degree winds. And I just felt that maybe that was a maybe better security or sense of safety that that door should have been down.
Okay, so these are already doors that are inside of the building, or is this something that you manually have to pick up and move to all the doors or all the windows?
No, this door is it's a permanent door. It's installed in front of the glass windows, and it's mainly to protect the glass. if some debris were to fly around and break the glass, this is a preventive maintenance.
And this is all over campus, or are you just specifically talking about the science buildings?
On the science building that I know of, which belongs to Central Supply, they're not required, but they're instructed to go around and lower the doors. But I just feel that part, since we didn't have as much time, was not done.
So it was basically skipped.
Yes.
And you feel that this is something you should have practiced in that meeting beforehand, or it was something that was there that was kind of overlooked?
I think it was just overlooked because we did test the doors. The doors are operational. Probably a total of 16 screws need to be taken down of a 1x4 covering where the hose is at for the door. And then for the button, probably another 3 screws, but that was just missed. It was overlooked.
And I remember you saying that there was other stuff in the meeting as well that you guys practiced.
Well, you practice on securing the vehicles. So all vehicles were to be placed in the third floor of the garage. All the boats were to be secured and tied down. Just anything that could be a missile hazard was to be picked up. And with the timing, I think a lot of stuff just got overlooked.
And I wasn't here, obviously, to see the campus boarded up, but you guys had to go around to every window and literally board up the windows.
Well, the windows were not boarded up, but there is some that have the security screens, and some have the roll-up shutters that could have been closed. But SSC or somebody that's designated that has a key to get to some of the roof areas were just either off campus or they left due to the hurricane.
So, I know you mentioned that SSC, that is the company that delegates or deals with
They're the contractors
the
on base that
contractors.
do. They're Southeast Solutions that run most of the changing light bulbs or any type of maintenance or any work order that is submitted. They were to complete the job.
So they were the main people in charge in overseeing all the responsibilities, or was that Phil, or was it a mixture of both?
It's a mixture of both, the university and the contractors. They both collaborate, and they take, of course, they have the maintenance part, who issued the bags, which I think we could have probably issued those bags maybe 2 days prior, and then just go around and just tightening things up instead of having, the last 4 hours on campus.
And Phil is your supervisor.
Yes.
Were you speaking with him through this process? Was he advising you in things to do around campus, or was this solely placed in your hands? I'm assuming maybe you had contact with him through all of this.
I was with contact with Phil. Phil was scheduled to go on vacation. The dean felt that the storm was as slow as it was moving. It was just a Category 2. So a Category 2 is probably winds anywhere from 65 miles up. And, they didn't think nothing was going to happen. So he went ahead and let Phil go on vacation. But during that time, I was in contact with Phil, letting him know what I'd done, if there was anything else that I needed to do, and also checking with the dean.
Okay, and was Phil giving you any kind of advice other than what you had from the dean?
Mostly just he told me whatever the dean, if dean requires to do something, do that. Because Phil also, just like probably everybody else on campus, probably hadn't been through a hurricane at the university.
And how long did it take you to make the school hurricane proof? I know that you said that you had to be out by noon as well as everybody else. But in total, how long do you feel like it took you to get all of these things accomplished? Was this
probably 72 hours, 3 days. But my last push was the vehicles. So that last day before we got out, probably 8 till about noon, I went ahead. That was my last things to move were the vehicles.
Okay. And these were the vehicles that you're moving by yourself?
Yes.
Okay. On a personal level, were you affected by the storm after you left campus? You went home?
I went home, and that's when I decided to board up. I was going to ride the storm out at the house. I noticed, I kept watching the news, and I felt that the storm was just going to get stronger. So I made this decision probably about 6 o'clock and left the area in Corpus Christi.
This was Thursday night?
Thursday night.
Thursday night? Did your family feel scared?
I think that's what made me... I knew it's just me and my wife. We went to go see our dog. We went to go stay at our daughter's in Midland, Texas, which is about 8 hours away. So finally did the decision to leave. It was about 7:30. Usually leaving from Corpus Christi, heading towards on 37 towards San Antonio. Takes about maybe 2 hours to get there. That day leaving, it took 5 hours to make it to San Antonio.
So there was a lot of traffic.
A lot of traffic.
Was it bumper to bumper or was it speeding traffic?
No, probably usually the speed limit's anywhere from 75 to 80 people are driving. During that time, maybe 35 to 45.
Okay, so it took a long time.
It took a long time.
And you said you had to board up your house. Did you live close by the water?
No, lucky I don't live close by the water. And I think luckily people that didn't live in my area, we got lucky because it didn't. It usually floods, but with the hurricane taking a northern turn, it really spared Corpus Christi.
Okay, so I'm going to shift this interview and let's talk about returning back to campus. So at what point did you have the go-ahead to come back to campus? Who contacted you to return to school?
I was in contact with my dean of university, Dean Pezel. We're in contact through text messages, phone calls. I told him that I would make it back to campus on Monday. So when I returned, I left Midland, Texas on Sunday to return Monday morning. As I was coming into the university, UPD, which is the University Police Department, turned me away because there was no list of I was not on an access list to return to campus.
So the dean called you to come back, but you were not allowed on campus. So what did you do?
As the police department was looking for a list for the College of Science and Engineering, this list was not either received or didn't get sent out. So there was probably 8 of us that were trying to return back, didn't get access to the campus.
So when did you actually have access to...
Wednesday, when everybody was authorized to come back to campus, which was probably 3 days later.
Okay, so tell me, what did you see? What was the campus like? What was the first thing that you saw when you arrived?
Just the debris. There's a lot of debris everywhere. Trees down. Nothing like major damage or anything. I didn't notice some of the pavilions that are close by the water, the structures, they were down, they were torn down. Now they're all deemed unsafe, so they're getting torn down. These are just little gazebos that are along the bike paths and stuff like that that are been taken down.
And was there a lot of vegetation on campus that was destroyed? I know there's little tropical areas, especially in the alley that's termed Cat Alley. I know there's a lot of flowers and stuff. Was that a mess in there?
Most of those trees were, they were kind of covered with the by buildings and stuff, but some of that weren't, were just uprooted. So those had to get cut down, and I think SSC, which is most of the guys that work at the doing the lawn cutting and tree cutting, did a pr excellent job at cleaning up the campus in those 2 days.
Anything broken?
Didn't notice anything major broken, just some of the buildings might have took a couple of windows, nothing major.
And I know you said that the electricity went out in the College of Science Engineering building. Is that the CI building?
Yeah, the only backup generators that we have run on natural gas. So once the natural gas kicked on, once a Category 3 hurricane was determined that it was coming to Corpus Christi, the city of Corpus Christi shuts all natural gas and most of the electricity to the university since we're on an island. We're on the last part of the water that hits the university, and the natural gas finishes on this island. So once they shut the gas down, we probably have maybe 3 hours of generator power until they run out of natural gas, and then we have none.
And so after everything was completed, did you have to follow up with anything, particularly on your part? I know you said that there were contractors that came in to do their main job. Was Phil still out of town at this point?
Yeah, Phil, once Phil knew that we had access to the university again, he drove. He couldn't get a flight out. Of course, there was no Houston, which is the main hub for the airlines, was underwater. So Phil took it upon himself and he drove probably 24 hours to get back to campus. He just, felt that he should have been here, but he probably would have been here on Monday also, but there was no flights coming into Corpus.
Because you would have had to have stopped in Houston.
Houston was the
Nothing.
stopping point, and there was no flights even coming into anywhere.
Now, Roy, was this your first hurricane to experience?
Now, I've experienced others. Like I said, I was in the military station in Ingleside, Texas. But every hurricane that came through, we boarded up the house, and of course, we had to leave the area within 72 hours. So, some were no major hurricane hit the Corpus Christi, or it got into the Gulf, but we wouldn't, since being in the military and being in a ship, we had to leave the port.
Okay. Would you say that this was the strongest hurricane that you've experienced?
No, back in 70, Celia was Category 5. That one did hit Corpus Christi, and I think, I mean, I was so young then. It just, I felt that there was more housing now, and then some of the houses that were in the flood areas weren't built back then, so we didn't see as much damage or destruction.
Was downtown destroyed or hit pretty hard by Celia, from what you can
From what I
recall?
remember, some of it was, but the seawall was probably protected downtown a lot from all the water surge. Most of the flood areas now, which consist of probably anywhere from where the university sits to Weber, there wasn't that many houses built back then. It was mostly farmland. So I think that hurricane, when it hit during that time, that's why you didn't hear about much of destruction or maybe even death, because there was no houses in that area.
There wasn't too
They
many
weren't
people
built.
around.
Yes.
And so, has there been anything that you have learned from this experience?
I know to get the probably some of the bags, if we need to get the bags out, if people want to leave earlier than the 4 hours to so they won't get stuck in traffic, or if they wanted to go just further away, probably that would probably be one thing I would change. Would make it a 72-hour, everything that was done for 24 hours, I'd make it into 48 hours and just move it up a day.
So, just more practice, more
More
preparation.
preparation.
And so, you feel that maybe the campus was caught off guard a little bit by it?
Well, like I said, we take this as a learning experience, since no, I think everybody that's been on campus had never been through a hurricane on this campus.
All right, and this is very similar to the question before, but any advice for anyone preparing for a hurricane, whether on campus, in their personal life, any things you'd recommend that are a priority when preparing for a hurricane, and just in general, some things that you should have at home?
Probably now that, since the hurricane did hit the area and knocked down power for 5, 6 days, I know a lot of people went out and bought generators. Generators are good, but once you run out of fuel, they're not gonna, you won't be able to charge your phones. But what I've noticed, and what I bought myself, was a battery powered, it's, you basically, you just crank up, it's like a radio. You can charge your phone on it, and all you do is just crank it, and it'll charge up to 3 hours of battery. So, I mean, you can just, if you feel you need to charge your thing, you just crank it, and that's like the best thing I probably could have purchased.
Did you run out of electricity at any point, or this
I
generator or
was out.
radio die at some point?
Well, we were out of power for 4 days,
Oh, wow.
so, I mean, not having any. Coming back on Sunday, didn't have power again until that following Thursday. Makes you think. I mean, we had candles, had some batteries, but we had basically no contact. There was no TV, so you don't really know what was going on. I didn't have electricity for the radio, so you don't know what's going on.
What
Only the
about
cell
cell?
phone is the
Okay.
only thing that. And then that was getting kind of. You had to go find electricity just to plug your cell phone to keep it charged.
Right. And did you have to leave at any point to get gas? Did you deal with the whole gas situation? I know it was running out, or it was not so much available.
It was available. It was just, I guess, a lot of speculation, maybe rumor that there's not gonna be any gas. So then you see the people going to buy 8 or 9 gas tanks to fill them up. So that makes you think, you know, these people are gonna have all the gas, and you know, they're gonna start raising the gas or gouging prices, which was, I'm kind of pleased and kind of shocked at the same time that that didn't really happen in our area.
Do you feel like the media did a good job in helping the community prepare for this hurricane?
They put out the information. The media did a good job in putting out information. And also, after, I know the radio, if you had electricity and you can hear the radio, the guys were on there 24 hours, 7 days a week. They didn't come off the radio until they knew that the hurricane was passed.
I did hear about some of those people out there during the storm, really toughing it out. It's pretty amazing if you think about it.
It is amazing. They, not say that they want to work, but they felt that that was their their call to put out the information where they can get help, who needs help. They'd say, hey, call the radio station, we'll get you help.
All right, awesome. Well, any questions for me?
No.
Okay, well, I appreciate your time, Roy. Thank you so much for answering my questions. And thank you for your advice. I think it's helpful to know this insight, and anything anybody can take from this to be prepared for another storm. Hopefully we don't have to encounter stuff like this, but I know being by the Texas Gulf, we're very vulnerable to these type of storms. But once again, thank you for your insight, and that's a wrap.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Thank you.